972-398-4377.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
Thank you for joining us as we continue in Mega Grace.
With all my heart.
Paul says this, he says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." You can hear that word a lot, foolishness. "But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. This is a key verse. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Here's a key. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Go back to verse 25 with me. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. That's a fascinating verse. The foolishness of God. There's some stuff about God that man would call or does call foolish. There's some stuff about God, even when Christ came and was crucified in weakness, that man would call weak. But it's interesting, God in his omniscience and omnipotence and omnipresence, how the foolish, he hid something in the foolishness. You see, revelation is not hidden from us, but it's hidden for us. And it takes a certain type, it takes a certain type of person to be able to mine it out. Amen. So the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now this I'm bringing into the context of your wilderness. There's something God has to get out of you in your wilderness. But you have to understand that his foolishness is wiser. We started this series called Mega Grace. That word mega is megalia. It's in Acts chapter 4, it's termed great grace. You see, there's a grace beyond what you possess right now. Amen. Tell somebody, there's a greater grace that's waiting for you. I'm saving that part in Acts because it's such a powerful story, and we'll walk through all the processes of how they stepped into this. Is now in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. But then trouble broke out. But in Acts chapter 4, something else happened. And if you read it carefully and you look at the words and what they mean, there was another grace that came on them. In the book of Acts, and when the Holy Ghost fell, grace came on them. We are saved by grace through faith. But in Acts chapter 4, it says, and great grace. There was a greater grace, a mega grace that came on them that manifested something altogether different. This is what we are after, but we have to prepare ourselves in our wilderness. If God don't do it in the wilderness, then the mega grace can't come on you. We're saved by grace. We'll always have grace, but there's a mega grace. There's a mega grace that God wants you to test the limits of your capacities. See, there's stuff people have in them that they don't feel like they can do because they've not tested the parameters. I had an experience like this in Africa. some years ago that I began to realize there's stuff we don't tap into that we carry. It was when they had me preach for 5 hours. Now, I know some of y'all think I'm long-winded anyway. But I'm talking about, I don't even know how my voice held up. And I wasn't preaching like this. We were high. I mean, we were going. And I mean, it was 5 hours. Think about it a minute. I thought about that. I said, Lord, how did that happen? Or how could this be? Mega grace. But see, until you step over that line into that grace, you won't even know you possess that. Look at somebody, tell them you don't even know how bad you are. I'm using bad in a good term. You don't even know what you carry, because a lot of us play it so safe, you know, and just don't rock the boat. No, you need to jump out the boat. Get out there and realize you can walk on that water. Hello? It's true, but it's called mega grace. But to qualify is something in the wilderness. See, when we don't test, or God said that wilderness was to prove you, to show you, you know, what he could do there with nothing. How he could sustain you, keep you healthy, feed you every day, huh? Keep a cloud over your head, keep a fire by night, keep you warm, protect you from the enemy. Amen. All that with nothing in a wilderness to prove to you that, man, you're not living by bread alone. It's not your job that's sustaining you. It's not your money that is your source. It's your God that is your source. He's got to get this into your spirit in your wilderness, because he's going to give you more money than you know what to do with. But that cannot become your source. You can't get your heart set on riches when they increase. Otherwise, you'll be measuring by what the world measures. And that's the wrong measurement. So the wilderness is important. It's vital. It's vital. He's got to brand you in the wilderness. He's got to do something to your mind. I mean, permanent in the wilderness. You got to be changed. Once you come out of Egypt and you stay in that wilderness long enough, you got to be changed. There's some transformation that's got to take place in the wilderness. But now the key with this wilderness is that God's foolishness is wiser. While people are working overtime, and work is important to have a good work ethic. But I'm talking about people that working overtime, busting their chops, trying to get or chasing after the dollar, when if you would learn to seek first the kingdom of God. Come on. That's such a simple formula. It goes over people's head. Surely got to be something else to this. Well, if you would learn to seek, truly seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of doing things, and not your way of doing things. And learn to stay in that holding pattern until God manifests himself. See, it's like Saul. Saul got influenced by the people, and he couldn't wait on Samuel any longer. And he had to go and offer that sacrifice, which was out of bounds for him to do, and it lost him the kingdom. See, folk, I got to do something, though. You need to learn to seek the face of God and wait on God until God instructs you, until God initiates some instruction in your spirit. Then you know the way to go. Then it's foolproof. And it may not even make sense to the natural mind. I said it may not make sense because it's not bound by your reasoning. See, that wilderness was to get you free from just being bound by reason. Bound by your senses, bound by your experience, bound by your past. That wilderness was to work all that out of you. Here you are walking around, ain't nothing out there but God yet providing for you. Yet you ain't hungry. Yet you ain't sick. Yet you ain't discouraged. Yet you ain't sweating bullets. Yet you ain't cold at night. Every day you wake up, God done provided again. You don't even know where it's coming from a lot of time, but that manna would be there. And the thing about it, you couldn't hold it 2 days. God said, I ain't going to let you store it up because I'm training you. I got to get something in your spirit because, see, when I give you more than enough, if you ain't trained, that money going to have you. And the love of money is the root of all evil. That's what messed up the world. But if he trained you to where he can get things through you, because, see, you know, God blesses kingdom businesses for the sake of financing his kingdom. Amen. Folks don't understand that. Amen. If they would really put God first and really finance the kingdom, God would get all kind of stuff through you. Amen. And you'll be a recipient of the blessing as well. But people usually, you know, first things first in their mind, like the world. God didn't bless you for that. Amen. In the wilderness, you learned that, to really put things first or put God and his interests first. All right? So because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and let's start at verse 7. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. This is Paul, who had received abundance of revelation. Paul was caught up into the third heaven, where God is, where his throne is. Not the second heaven, third heaven. And he heard sounds, words. He said, not lawful to utter, but I'm sure words he couldn't discern. Words he'd never heard before. Words he didn't know. It was a heavenly language. But he heard things that weren't lawful for him to speak or repeat. But after he came out of that, not knowing whether he was in the body or out of the body, but after having that experience, he says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, all the revelation that he received, he said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. He said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now look, this was God putting a seat belt on Paul, so to speak, or a safety. You know how some things have like even firearms have safeties on them. You know, we're not in use to put a safety. Well, God was putting something to keep Paul in a useful state. Because see, God has to resist the proud. And so in order to keep, as much as he invested in Paul, he had to put something in his life or allow something in his life to keep him in a place where he could continue to use him and he wouldn't become useless. See, a lot of people know a lot of stuff and you wonder why you go through so much because you know a lot. Hello? But you got to understand why it is that is there and not see it as a negative, but see it as a positive. God is keeping you sober in your mind so that he can use you, so that he can continue to bless you. He can get things through you.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll free 1-877-TRBANKS. Thanks, or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.